Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You may be seated. 46 or so days ago on Ash Wednesday, I stood in this pulpit and I preached to you all about taking up the Lenten disciplines, the classic disciplines of fasting, of almsgiving, and of extra prayers. That this was explained and taught to you to help train you in godly discipline, to help you to crucify your own sinful flesh and all of its sinful desires. The whole reason you could take up such practices without worrying about having to earn your salvation or anything like that, the whole reason you could do those things and work on those things and curb your flesh with a freedom of conscience is because of what we celebrate today. That Easter has happened. That Jesus Christ died in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, again in accordance with the scriptures. And that changes everything. Past, the present, and yes, certainly our future. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that this is a fact known to us first, least by reason, as history, historically proven, written down in more sources than most anything that is accepted as truth in ancient history. More, but however, than just historical knowledge is the chief way we know. We behold this truth that has been revealed to us by our God, revealed through Holy Scripture, in accordance with the Scriptures, the Spirit, His Word, through His witnesses, that we would put our trust in that. And this has all sorts of benefit to us. The gospel lesson from Mark is that historical account. The other gospels recorded as well. They reveal that these angels, these men clothed in white, were enlisted by God to bestow this good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That those words from St. Mark, those words of the angel to those alarmed women that Sunday morning, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. Don't be alarmed. Christ, our Passover Lamb, lives. That just as those old Israelites in Egypt rested securely with the blood of the Lamb covering their doorposts while the angel of death worked his work amongst the Egyptians, so we also need not be alarmed. We are secure under the blood of the Lamb. The resurrection of Jesus changes how we look then at death. That death is now Jesus' tool to be used when and where it pleases him. It is no longer the undefeated champion over all humanity, because it has once and for all suffered a total defeat by Jesus' hand. And thus, when it is the right time, Jesus uses death to bring his own home to himself. But also at the right time, he will tell death and the grave to relinquish the bodies on the last day. But there is no way and no reason to be alarmed. Not at your sins, not at death. That Jesus has been crucified, and yet Jesus lives. The ultimate importance of Good Friday and Easter Sunday is that our Lord Jesus Christ has suffered the guilt of all sin, he has taken the wrath of God upon himself, and he has discharged it all. There is now forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life, not death, and salvation, not condemnation. Job, thousands of years before Christ, confessed all of this during his suffering. Just as you may have felt recently some kind of suffering or something, even if it was only the suffering of disciplining your own flesh during Lent, Job confessed that the present sufferings were only temporary, and they could not touch his joy. He confessed that his Redeemer lives. Thousands of years before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, Job confessed a faith that Jesus would come and die and live again. And by that faith in the living God, Jesus Christ, Job confessed then that his present suffering was nothing compared to the glory that was to be revealed. He fainted for joy at the prospect of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, that in his own body, once fraught with weakness, subject to suffering and pain and loss, that same body would be raised anew, and in his resurrected body he would behold his living Redeemer. That this is a faithful contemplation of our Lord's resurrection. It means holy and new life by the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. And that brings us to St. Paul's words to the Corinthians today. Words about leaven. Leaven, that action that involves yeast, that produces that space in a lump of dough, that nothingness that puffs it up. That's the language that Paul uses. And Paul is just using the language that Jesus used. That Jesus uses this term in relation to the false teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees, that teaching that taught them and taught others that salvation was to be gained by their works towards God, instead of their reliance, their faith in a living Redeemer, a sacrificial lamb. No, they had perverted that teaching and twisted a thing to think that we could please God by our works and make atonement with God by them. Jesus rightly called this the leaven of the Pharisees. Paul also uses this term leaven in fighting the false teaching that had taken the churches of Galatia. The same teaching of works and so forth. But here in Corinth, Paul uses the same terminology of leaven. He goes and uses it, however, for impenitent sinners who chose to use the gospel not for the forgiveness of their sins, not for life, not for salvation, but for license. That the gospel was there only to create for them a license in order to sin more. License to boldly sin in ways that the pagan world was even shocked at. And the Corinthian congregation just allowed it and tolerated it to happen. But here, whether you are talking about the legalism of the scribes and the Pharisees or those who had falsely taught the churches of Galatia, or through licentiousness and license that was prevalent in Corinth, it is the same old leaven of malice and evil, and it is eternally damning to souls. It produces nothing but a puffed up person. One who then is so puffed up in pride and arrogance, who thinks they can trust their own works, or one who thinks that his works, especially his sins, don't matter. And both are old leaven, wickedness and evil. As a quick aside, Paul does mention the congregation's life here in this text. That the fact of the matter is, yes, we are each other's keepers. That the leaven of impenitence, as Corinth was experiencing it, of the unrepentant one who still wants to call himself a brother, that is who claims to be a Christian, he needs to be dealt with. That later in that same epistle, Paul and the Holy Spirit, thus through him, would remind the Christians in Corinth and us that bad company ruins good morals. That people, the people we have around us in life, can absolutely have a rotting and bad effect upon us like evil leaven. And that should be taken as a caution from God Himself as we live out our new lives given to us by God Himself. And that's the point, the new lives that we've been given by God. St. Paul is addressing in this text Christians. He reminds them that the sacrifice of Jesus, the Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb, he stresses that great word, our. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. That possessive pronoun is a word of faith, a word of trust, a word which puts all of our grasp to bear upon its object, who is Christ, our Passover lamb. That this is, of course, a reference to Christ's sacrifice. For the Passover lamb was sacrificed. His blood was used to cover the doorposts and so forth, that they would be saved, kept safe and secure. But here we hear of Christ being the Passover lamb, that the fruit of the cross then is forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. And there is no place safer than that. And there is a new life then, given to all who believe. A life of a person who is no longer leavened, but as St. Paul calls them, that you really are unleavened. That is, by the work of Christ, you are not puffed up. By the work of Christ, you do not have that evil leaven of malice, but that you are unleavened, doing the works of God with sincerity and truth, that is, in pure light, out there for anyone and everyone to see, works done humbly, in sincerity and truth. That this is another result of Christ's death and resurrection. That Job and Paul and us can and we should look forward to the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, as we confess in the creeds. But also here, however, Paul brings it from the past and even from the future to the here and the now. That Christ's resurrection has meaning for our life today. Take note, he first says it's a celebration. That Paul is talking here of an ongoing, constant celebration that is the result of our Lord Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, that our Redeemer lives. And we have cause to rejoice and celebrate. That even while we observed the season of Lent, the truth of Easter and the resurrection of Jesus was under it and over it all. That we cannot forget about the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ lives. And that changes everything forever. And we can't go back, recreate it or anything like that. And thanks be to God, we can't, because it's done for our good and for our benefit. That each and every day for us is Easter. Each day is a day with the living God, a God who has defeated death, forgiven sin, and overcome the power of the devil. It doesn't matter what it says on the calendar or what the church here says, you are living in Easter. And you will be living in Easter forever. Paul tells the Christians that they are unleavened, that this is the work of Christ, the Passover lamb. That he has removed the leaven of malice and evil. That when he shed his own blood, he was purchasing us away from a master who had enslaved us to those things. When he sent out preaching and baptizing and so forth, he was making sure that people would be born yet another time, this time as new creatures, people of sincerity and truth. That the old ways are meant to be gone, sins are forgiven, bad habits are erased, old masters shown the door. Leaven removed. And yet Paul also still talks about, in the present tense, cleansing out the leaven. That this is a tension we find in the Holy Scriptures of being, yes, fully sanctified, and yet also still in this life cooperating with the Holy Spirit to grow in grace and virtue and all godliness. That this work is only possible because of the finished work of Christ, the Passover Lamb. It is only possible by His Holy Spirit, who brings new life by His Word. That this is, however, the reality you find yourself in today, in the present. With the past fact of Christ's resurrection, that He is indeed the living God, with you actively trusting in Him who is your Passover Lamb, who was sacrificed for you, that you have safety and security with God, that knowing your future is as secure as how Job confessed from that same trust in Jesus even thousands of years ago, that all of that has been done, and all that is still waiting to be revealed at the last, that even today in the middle is changed. That it is changed in joy. Joy that, yes, eternal life is coming, but joy even now. That you need not be alarmed or afraid. Christ, the Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed, and He lives. The things that create fear in the unbelieving world do not need to create fear in you. That Christ, your Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed, that Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, is risen, your Redeemer lives, your sins are forgiven, your guilt has been atoned for, the wrath of God, which you deserved, has been fully poured out onto the Son instead. That you are justified by faith in Christ, because Christ has been raised for your justification. That the deathly end that you were headed toward has been completely and totally undone. And now before you is a new way of eternal life, fully opened. That your sinful nature produced a righteousness that was a filthy rag. But now, because of Christ, the Passover Lamb has been sacrificed, you are indeed one of those who in heaven is accounted a blessed one who has washed your robe and made it white in the blood of the Lamb. The fasting of Lent has given away. Feasting is now the order of this day. And your life is now one giant daily Easter. Not in a sinful, gluttonous way, but in a spiritual feasting by faith on that which God gives by His Word. And yes, there may be some bodily feasting with others as you live today with a living Redeemer. Yes, we have feasting. Always in mind, of course, the eternal feast that is yet to come. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. He has risen. Our Redeemer lives. Sin is gone. Death is done. Hell is not home. And your life today reflects that. Celebrate the festival with that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.